Hello, and welcome to our series, Career Resilience, where we talk with people about their career path and their career journey, and maybe we can all learn from each other. My name is Jan Daniluk, and I'm a human resources professional in London, Ontario, Canada. I work with Fort Keist LLP, and I work with my clients to help them with the HR side of their business. We hope that you will enjoy these discussions with real people about real challenges and real working life situations. Welcome. My guest today is Lindsay Ferrier. Have I pronounced that correctly, Lindsay?
Yes, perfect.
Okay. Well, welcome to Career Resilience. I so appreciate having you here. And I have to say, I'm just having this psychic moment, and I bet, not even knowing you that well, that you're quite a busy person.
I am. I am a very busy person, Jan. And so I won't give you a pitch about how you can do it all. You can't. You can be very busy and not get everything done. So that's how I would describe myself. Very busy, always things that should be doing.
Yeah. So most of our conversation is really going to skew towards what it's like to be a mom with a career. That's mostly what I would like to chat about today, how we try and do it all, and it's very hard to do it all. And also maybe some tips you have for moms in the same circumstance. But let's start first with talking about your career. Can you tell me what you do for a living? What is your career?
Yes. So I'm in HRLR. So currently I'm the acting director of National Labor Relations at Canada Post. So my current role is really coming up with the strategy, executing the strategy, staying up to date on legislative updates that affect federal employers, really working closely with our union partners, and moving the business forward. So we're always modernizing, looking for new opportunities, and improving our relationships. So that's really what I focus on.
Okay. And it's always so exciting for people to see Canada Post trucks around, because it means mail or it means parcels. So, yeah. So thank you very much for all that you do for us and for them. So that sounds like a busy job.
It's a busy job, more important than ever during the pandemic. I mean, I can't take credit for the busy trucks and how hard our employees are working out on the streets and in the plants every day. Mm-hmm. They've done amazing things, and Canadians are counting on them. And so all the credit goes to them, not to me. I'm obviously working remotely. So certainly they deserve a round of applause, not me, but more critical than ever, I think, to Canadians and to small businesses. Mm-hmm. So very proud to work there.
Yeah. Well, I would say that you deserve a round of applause because you're part of the team. So tell us what kind of resilience you need to do the job that you do.
Sure. So professionally, resilience in my mind looks like knowing which hills you want to die on. I think that's really important, is to try to maintain some perspective. I think that in many, many jobs, things can feel heated, or you can be set in your frame of mind, and it's very difficult to be open-minded sometimes. And so I think the perspective of, taking a moment, getting up from your desk, I know this seems so minor, but it's something that actively helps me. Will this matter in a year, 5 years? Is this going to matter on my deathbed? Maybe I go for a walk. Maybe I screen a call or don't respond right away to an email. I think that resilience is about controlling your side of the communication, controlling how I'm contributing to something negatively or positively, and really actively managing that. And I think that that has come with career growth. I think that I certainly made a lot of mistakes, 12, 15 years ago in that regard. My perspective is not the only one, and it's not going to be the loudest one. And it's okay not to add to the conversation. And I think those things all help me with resilience, mm-hmm. To share the credit and to not react poorly or quickly, just trying to be more strategic and careful in the way I respond to things. I think gives me resilience because it makes me feel more in control of my narrative.
Yeah. I like the idea of going for a walk. hopefully outdoors, because then you really do realize that there's more to the world than what our world is. Because when we work hard and we care and we're very committed, it's really close up to us. So taking that breather is so important and so easy not to do.
Yes. Yes. It is easier just to try to figure something out and close something off to bring yourself that other piece that you resolved it. Mm-hmm. But if you're not in a frame of mind to be able to do that in the way that you'll be proud of yourself tomorrow for doing it, then, you know, I think as I age, it's more valuable to wait. It's more valuable to have things outstanding in that regard when something is contentious or feels too personal professionally to wait. Walks for sure provide resilience to me.
Have you spent most of your career at Canada Post?
No. So I've been at Canada Post for 6 years. I started there as a human rights manager, did some staffing. I transitioned to a business partner role. I did a couple of projects. Our corporate office is in Ottawa, so back and forth between Ottawa and London, where I live. Before that, I was with Ontario Lottery and Gaming, also as an HR manager, generalist, coordinator before that. So I was there for 5 years. Before that, I was with Shaw Communications in Vancouver. So that was how I got my start in HR when I was still finishing the HR program. My husband was a student at UBC at the time. So we were there and then we moved here so that he could do his PhD at Western. And then we stayed here in London. And so lots of great colleagues from the OLG and then transitioned to Canada Post, like I said, in 2015. Mm-hmm. Lots of opportunities, though. People have been very gracious to me professionally.
What made you decide to get into HR?
I'm not sure that it was. Sorry, I have an 8-year-old right here.
That's okay. Let's say hi.
He's running to class. He's running to his 2:10 class at 2:10. So he's well prepared. Sorry about that. You know, it wasn't an active choice. I think that I was in university. I was looking, you know, for management type opportunities. And I started with Shaw as a part-time job. And then I was just answering the phone. I was selling digital phones and internet in the heyday of these things. And I transitioned into kind of a scheduling role and it opened my mind up to, you know, many people start in HR as kind of a administrator or coordinator role, looking at, you know, new hires, conducting some orientation and training, very like entry level HR type work. And I saw the impact. And I think that the people piece, always feeling like you are making a difference or that you're going to be a voice or you're going to listen to somebody that otherwise may not have that, provides me with immense satisfaction. I'm not sure I could get that in another field.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great field. I mean, obviously, that's the field that I chose and have been in forever. And it is a great field because we're actually a lot of the time we're helping. And that's a good place to be. So, okay, I just think it's so fantastic that you had an 8-year-old wander through or semi-wander through. We couldn't get him on camera, but because let's switch to talking about being a mom. And how many kids do you have? How many children do you have?
I have 3 boys, 3, 8, and 13.
3, 8, and 13. So that's a really great spacing. So the 13 helps with the 3.
Yes, he does.
Helps
he does.
3 and the 13 and it all works out. Okay.
That's right.
What's the best thing about being a mom?
Oh, well, I mean, everything I do is for them. And I know that's such a annoying response, but I mean, they're what I look forward to. So I love my job and I'm very committed to my job. But for me, the reason that I work hard and I'm so dedicated and try to be organized and efficient is all to squeeze out more time with them or try to save more money for another trip to Disney World or try to, you know, just progress our lives in a way that makes their life better. I want them to have all the things that I didn't have And part of that is working really hard and hopefully setting an example for them to follow. There is a time for work. And while there used to be, this is a time for work, this is a time for being a mom. And I think that the pandemic has really flipped that on its heels. I think that now it's all kind of merged into one, which has been, you know, stressful and messy, but also very humanizing. Yeah. I think that it's made everyone more stressed out, but also kind of being able to accept this is all of me. There are different aspects. And I think that up until COVID, a lot of working moms tried really hard to separate, you know, church and state, for lack of a different saying, where you feel like you're behind the eight ball, or you don't want to give your boss or other senior executives the impression that, you know, having kids is holding me back or means that I'm less dedicated or less engaged, or, you know, that I'm running off at one to take them to the dentist. Like, I think that a lot of moms actively try to manage that internal narrative that they have for themselves to try to demonstrate, you know, I have kids, but don't worry, it's fine. I'm dedicated to this, or I'm going to work 12 hours a day because this is my priority. It's not them. They're not a distraction. I think that that's something that employers are not necessarily looking for. Certainly where I work, that is not the expectation. But I think it's more of an internal struggle that a lot of working moms have. And I don't know if working dads have it. I've never been one of those, but I'll say for working moms, you really try to be the most efficient, the most organized, prove that I can work really hard and have these kids, instead of it being kind of a negative thing in my mind that she's doing really well, you know, in spite of having three kids. I don't want that narrative. And that's more of an internal struggle I have. Yeah, I think it's been better. Mm-hmm. It's one silver lining to COVID has been letting go of that. I think we've all had to let go of that. Say, here's where I'm an employee and here's where I'm a mom. Now I'm just both all the time. So, you know, right. A toddler walk into a video call, and that would have been like my worst nightmare 5 or 10 years ago. I would have felt like that really undermined the important meeting I was in, or the messaging I was trying to give, or my credibility even. And that's not from feedback I received. That's just internal dialogue that I think a lot of moms have. But now, a year into this, there will be a three-year-old on my lap and I'll be having a really important meeting. And it just is.
Is that this whole thing that we have as women, about having it all?
Yeah, I think you're onto something, Jan. I don't think there is having it all. I think certainly every day you can't have it all. I reject that messaging, you know, that, you know, I'm holding a baby, cooking dinner on the two cell phones. Like, I'm not doing that. I think on a macro level is just one full day, because when you're a working mom, there are dozens and dozens of activities that have to happen. You open your eyes and then it starts. You know that you have to reach many milestones throughout the day to get to the end of the day. So on a macro level, that's a day. And I think overall in a day, I'm trying to achieve some harmony between work and life, but certainly between moments or between activities, that's not the case. You're either immersed in this or immersed in that. And I think you need to average out. You need to be kind to yourself, to give yourself, you know, maybe a weekly rolling average or a monthly overview to just check in to say, did I do enough of all the things without turning into a robot? Because I think that's also the challenge.
How are you kind to yourself?
I think that I'm getting better at asking what I need. So there was a time in my life where I would do all the things I needed to do and be just a walking to-do list personally and professionally. And then I would say, okay, now I have to go for a run. Now I have to get the clothes ready. Now I have to do this, even if I didn't want to do those things. So I think, you know, things are hectic. And I think COVID has given us the opportunity to just admit, like, things are things are difficult right now. So we're going to order the pizza and I'm going to ask my 13-year-old to do things that I wouldn't have asked him to do a year or two ago. You know what? You can run to the store and grab this for me. Like, you can start doing things to be more helpful. Yeah. I've been giving the 8-year-old some he unloads the dishwasher. Like, I think just delegating to get the job done, to get all the things, all the check marks checked, but also to show, you know, this isn't my show and you're just a passive participant here. Like, yeah, these are mostly your dishes. These are mostly your dirty clothes. So let's all figure it out.
Yeah.
So I think we all have to chip in to try to sort it out, but try to also be kind to say, you know what, I'm not going to go for a run. Maybe what I need is a walk. What do I need right now to decompress? Is it a walk around the block, or is it, I'm just going to lay in my bed and look at the wall for 5 minutes? And I think that seems like such a, like, it's not even a joke. It just is, what do I need? And then I just allow myself to do that. So maybe I sit on my porch for a glass of wine and it's only 5:30. That's what I'm going to do.
I have a terrible story from my active mom days. Well, I'm still an active mom, but she just doesn't need me. But I have one, and she's the best thing in the world, and she's my best friend, and I adore her and all those things. But when she was a child and I was trying to do everything and be everything that people needed or wanted or whatever. And so this is a terrible thing to say, but I got sick. I got unwell, because that frequently happens when you get run down. And lots of times moms get run down. And there was a moment where they thought it might be, and I apologize if this is offensive to anybody, but they thought it might be tuberculosis. Now, when you have tuberculosis, you go into a sanatorium. I don't exactly know what happens in a sanatorium, but all I
sounds relaxing.
All I could think about, Lindsay, was, oh my gosh, if I have to do that, like, I guess I'll just have nothing to do.
It's so funny, because I've had the conversation with my husband to say, you know, when they were announcing the quarantine hotels near Pearson, I just thought, you know, well, if I could just call this number and tell them I have nowhere to quarantine for 2 weeks, they're going to bring me meals. I don't have to see anyone. I'm thinking, well, that's something to consider. I'm glad you did not have that, by the way. And I'm glad I don't have COVID and require a quarantine hotel. But these are certainly thoughts that I think are not necessarily unique to you. I think all moms are looking for a quarantine hotel from time to time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, because we're so darn tired. I mean, don't you find that you're tired?
I'm tired.
You certainly don't look tired at all.
Well, thanks. That was a good save. But I'm tired, but you know, fulfilled. So when there's a time when I have the house to myself, it's almost like I don't even know. I go upstairs and then I go downstairs and then I, you know, I'll wonder when the kids are coming home. It's such a bizarre juxtaposition to say, I'm really tired, I need a break, but also I don't want a break. Like, I don't want a break. I want it to always be, you know, movie night on Friday night and the kids are on the couch and we have chips and there's wine and we're snuggled in a blanket. These are the little traditions that keep me going through the rest of the 6 days to say, okay, no matter how crazy work was or how crazy things are going on, you know, we're always only 6 days away from movie night, so we can make it. It's a lighthouse.
Yeah, I like that idea. And I think the thing is, too, as a mom, you have so much love.
Yeah.
And that just carries you through a lot. This might be a bit of an unfair question, but what puts you over the edge as a mom?
I think it's just an internal dialogue that I need to control. I don't think it's an external situation. I think that I appear to be a calm person. And that takes a lot of effort, because You know, I think that many moms can relate to just a constant nagging to-do list that you have about things that don't really matter. And I think if I let that to-do list get too loud, then it impacts my ability to enjoy, you know, pockets of joy or like moments of happiness. I don't think there's ever like this whole day was really great. I think that that's setting me up for disappointment, but I think that there are moments that are really great and there are little funny things that happen that I have faith will happen again. So I think that I try really hard to actively manage that to-do list. Sometimes that means that I have to say it all out loud and drive everybody crazy, because that provides me with relief. If I say, you know, to my husband and kids, you know, listen, guys, I have to tell you 12 things on my mind so that I can park it. Because if I don't say it out loud and know that some of you are going to own some of these things, then I won't be able to be present. And I think there's a lot of advice and a lot of articles, you know, it's all over LinkedIn and all of the moms in my network say, you know, it's really important to be present. You need to be able to sit on the floor and play Lego with your kids. And I don't dispute that, but it's very difficult. And to me, that's an additional pressure to put on myself, where I found myself trying to reach this unnatural level of presence that just seemed fake. You know, it's so I'm trying to find a way to get there more genuinely so that I can actually enjoy being mm-hmm. present instead of just making the other person feel like I'm present, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if I'm playing little trucks on the floor, but in my head, I'm thinking about all the things I need to do, then I'm not present. But that's as far as I could get for a long time before I would just say, you know, it's about what I said, you know, being kind to yourself is asking yourself what you need. Maybe it's, you know, I have 20 to-do lists in here, and sometimes just writing it down, you know, in an old school on paper with pen, and then shutting the book and closing the office door, then I can park it. I can leave it, but I can't leave it in here because that affects my ability to react calmly and be who I want to be when I grow up and make good choices and be present. You know, I need a place to park things. So sometimes that's with my husband. Sometimes it's in a book. Sometimes I just send myself little reminders through Outlook, you know, remember to do this, remember to do that. And sometimes that's at 2 a.m. I'm not saying that's healthy. I'm just saying if I wake up, I need to park it. I know that that's what I need to be able to go back mm-hmm. to sleep. So I'll just give myself that, as neurotic as it sounds.
You know what? I mean, I still do that where I wake up in the night and I'll think of something and I'll text myself, but I always yeah. try and add to my text to me, love you. So the next day when I wake up and I get it, oh, that's really nice.
I need to work on that. I need to work on that. This mine is more like 7 exclamations marks. Don't forget this. Maybe I'll work on my kindness.
Yeah.
Little notes. You're doing okay.
Yeah, you're great. I'm so proud of you. Which you should
That's
be.
Nice.
Now, do you have resources that you use or go to in terms of how to be a, I don't know, better mom, more functional mom, healthier mom, any of those kinds of things, Lindsay?
There have been moments where I have, you know, I have leveraged, like we have a great EAP provider, Homewood, and they'll send you books and things you're struggling with. I have, you know, talked to therapists. I've tried to, I also am, you know, I Google full paragraphs, and my husband would laugh if he heard me say this, but sometimes you just need a little nudge or reassurance that what you're doing makes sense to other people. The internet. I'll consult the internet for what I'm doing. But also, we have really good talks in the house. I don't have a great response to this question other than things are up and down when you're raising kids and you have a career, and I certainly can't do it alone. So sometimes that requires venting. Sometimes I need to Google a full paragraph about what I'm upset about to do with my parenting or a mistake I've made, or, you know, asking the boys for feedback or apologizing. I apologize a lot. I haven't done this before. So we have that conversation. I don't know
yeah.
how to do this. I'm trying.
Yeah.
So I'm just being honest with them about making a mistake and apologizing and figuring out how to make it up to them or make it better. And I think, you know, I think that demonstrates something good to them as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not a job that you're really prepared for, is it?
No, and they get older. They're not always babies. Babies, I mean, who doesn't love a baby? Like, babies are easy, and that's maybe controversial, but babies have very clear needs.
Yeah.
I don't know. As your kids get older, I think that you're just weighing it. Like, does he actually want to talk about this? Should I keep pressuring him? Should I keep bringing it up, or should I back away? It's a constant, like, I want to be cool and seem like you can talk to me, but I also want you to know that I really, really care and I really want to give you advice. But if I show those cards too early, everything shuts down. It's like a fine balance that I'm trying to figure out, and it's different for each of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are you and your husband's parenting styles similar or different from each other, or how do you work through that?
I think that we have very different concerns and very different things that we do with the kids, or different things that we manage, and that adds up to everything working. So I think that we don't really have areas that overlap as far as our parenting. You know, I am always very concerned with, you know, what they're eating, if they're getting exercise, are they, did they see the dentist lately? Do they need vitamins? Do they get enough sunshine, like their plants or something? And my husband is, you know, he's more patient with homework. He's better at wrestling, playing video games. Like, I think that together, you know, the kids come to me if they're sick or they have a boo-boo, and they go to him if they have questions about the Wi-Fi, and it adds up to it all working somehow. But I think that we have different needs and different relationships that complement each other.
Yeah. I asked you before about if you have me time, do you and your husband have time together? I know it's a constant race that you're in.
So we have time between about 9:15 p.m.
9:15 p.m.
Yep. And when I fall asleep sitting up around 9:40. So we've got 25 minutes, but you know, sometimes what we need at the end of the day is just to sit beside each other in silence, reading a magazine or reading a book, and we're all talked out. And I think that's okay. You could be comfortable just saying, hey, I'm tired, I'm just going to sit here. And then, you know, you start another day. Like, yeah. I think, you know, I've been married for 15 years and you know what the other person needs, I think.
Let me ask you, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a mom who's like you with a career, super busy with kids? What kind of advice would you give?
I mean, I said, you know, I think that the most important is to be kind to yourself. Like, it is hard. And the years pass so quickly. Every day is an eternity. But I don't know how my older son is 13 already. Like, time goes so fast. And in the context, you know, the little things don't matter. The little negative things don't matter, but I think overall, you know, little traditions add up to good memories and strong relationships, and appreciating those, you know, pockets of joy. And I think being confident that being a working mom, that is a huge transferable skill in my mind. Working moms blow my mind, you know, the efficiency and organization required demonstrates their ability to do any job in my mind. So I think, you know, it is only an added benefit to have kids in your career. In my mind, it's not a hindrance or a deterrent or a negative aspect or something you've got to figure out how to juggle. It's more about dividing your time, making sure you're organized and efficient so that you can enjoy those moments of joy and those pieces of happiness without that internal nagging dialogue, and just be confident that that people know you're doing the best you can, and that it's enough. You know, it's enough, And I think that we're hard on ourselves. I think that many moms kick themselves, and I'm sure dads too, you know, why did I do this? Or I shouldn't have given them Corn Pops, or I should have, you know, responded to this email at 10 PM. You know, why, you know, just be kind to yourself and know your heart and your intention. And as long as that's on track with what you want out of life or what you want to achieve or the kind of, you know, mom you want to be or what you want your kids to think about you, then it's enough. Yeah. So I don't have anything more monumental than, stay in it and try to stay connected to the kids, because time is fleeting.
It is that. It is that. And the memories are wonderful, but it is a blink of an eye. There's no question about that. Would you have any thoughts or comments for single moms? Because I try to imagine what it must be like to be a single mom and try and get it all done.
I think you would need a network. I think it's a miracle. I don't know. You know, I'm not the best person to ask, because I'm so grateful. I have such a good partnership, and we really handle things as partners, you know, equally important careers, equally invested parents. And I don't know that I could be on this end of the interview or giving any advice to anybody if I was not in this privileged position that I am in. I'm very grateful for how involved my husband is in the kids, and, you know, how he helps me manage my anxieties and nagging to-do list that I have. With regards to that. So a single mom, I'm certainly I can't even imagine, honestly, Jan. Having a network would be so important. But I mean, also, I think being kind and feeling like you did enough at the end of the day would be even more critical.
Yeah. But I think as women, we sure salute single moms.
Oh,
I think they are absolutely incredible. And I just admire any woman that can do that. And of course, it's great because they have kids, and kids are wonderful. They add such a depth and dimension to your life that, I can't imagine not having had that experience.
And comedic relief, you know, I think that I could come out of a very important meeting and my kid's shirt will be covered in food or his face will be covered in cheesies. And, you know, okay, well, you know, it just is, life is funny, and kids force you to appreciate that in a different way, I think, to not take yourself so seriously. Because they don't care what I do for a job. They don't care how good I am at my job or bad I am at my job. You know, they don't care. Everything lines up. I think that overwhelmingly having some kind of reassurance that things work out. Things generally work out and happen for a reason, and not in a spiritual way, in a very in a very matter-of-fact way. You know, whether that's about your career resilience, having setbacks professionally, or personally, it all added up to the life that you've created and the life that I've created. And it's all for something. It's all on purpose.
Yeah. And it's all interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything final you'd like to say or add to anything that you've said today?
No, I don't think so. I think that was everything. And certainly I'm not, you know, the voice of working moms. I'm only one working mom, clearly very neurotic and organized and type A, and that's how I manage it all. Not necessarily perfectly, but that, you know, everything I said is only how I'm figuring things out as I go. And these questions a year from now might have totally different answers, you know, so it's an evolution.
Thank you for chatting with me today, Lindsay. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate getting to chat a little bit about what it is like to be a mom who's got a career and all those those things that make life interesting and complicated and exhausting and exhilarating. There's so many things. So thank you very much. I want to thank everybody for joining Lindsay and me today. This has been great to talk about what it's like to be a mom, you know, not in the days like when it was always a stay-at-home mom. And believe me, I think both Lindsay and I would salute the stay-at-home mom too, because you have a difficult job to do. It's the challenge of being a mom, and it's the excitement and the appreciation that your kids have for you and that you have for them. Please do follow me on YouTube. If you're a listener, listen to my podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Also, just a reminder that I have a new website, career-resilience.com, where I also have added a blog, How to Be Amazing at Work. So thank you for joining me and Lindsay today, and until we meet again, thanks.